Al-Bayan Radio presents Ramadan Afternoons with Sheikh Khalid Isa and Sheikh Jalal Shami.
نحييكم إخواني وأخواتي في هذا البرنامج من إذاعتكم إذاعة البيان صوت أهل السنة والجماعة. في هذا البرنامج أمسيات رمضانية نستضيف في فضيلة الشيخ خالد عيسى ويشرح لنا قواعد نبوية في العلم والأخلاق والسلوك، فليتفضل مشكورا بارك الله فيه.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، أما بعد، أيها الإخوة المستمعون، استمعوا إلى هذه القاعدة النبوية: إذا مات الإنسان انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث: عطايا الرب تعالى، عطايا المنان لا تنتهي، وهباته لعباده المؤمنين لا تنفد. وما في هذه القاعدة النبوية الجليلة إنما هو قطرة من فيض فضل الله الكريم جل وعلا، وهو القائل: هل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان؟ فلكرم المؤمن على ربه لم يغلق عنه أبواب الحسنات حتى وهو ميت تحت أضباك الثرى. كم جميل أن تعلم يا عبد الله أن رصيدك من الحسنات يزداد بعد موتك إذا قمت بهذه الأعمال. هذه القاعدة هي مأخوذة من حديث للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا مات الإنسان انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث: صدقة جارية، وعلم ينتفع به، وولد صالح يدعو له. هذه الدنيا دار العمل، وقد جعلها الله تعالى مزرعة للآخرة، فمن زرع هنا حصد هناك، من زرع خيرا حصد أضعافه، لأن الحسنة بعشر أمثالها، ومن زرع شرا فلا ينتظر أن يحصد غير ما زرع، وما ربك بظلام للعبيد. والمؤمن حين يسمع ويقرأ هذا الحديث، وهو أصل كبير وقاعدة عظيمة في باب الأعمال، فإنه ينبغي له أن يبحث عن أكبر نصيب له من هذه الأسهم الثلاث: الصدقة والعلم والذرية الصالحة التي من الكريم الوهاب ببقاء أثرها بعد فراق هذه الحياة.
All praise due to Allah. May Allah send His peace and blessings upon His final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we welcome you to this program, which is broadcast live on your radio station, Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. In this program, we have our special guest, Sheikh Khalid Isa, and he shares with us some prophetic principles in knowledge, character, and etiquettes. The principle that we will be discussing today translates to mean: when a person dies, all of his deeds are cut off except from three sources. The giving of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most generous, the most benevolent, and His gifts that He gives to His believing servants are never ending. And this prophetic principle is just a drop in the great ocean of the virtue and the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who said, "Is not the reward for good except that which is good?" Surah Ar-Rahman, verse number 60. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored His believing servants, and part of the honoring is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not shut the door of good deeds reaching a person even after his death, when he is buried in his grave after on top of layers, or there are on top of him layers of dirt. Subhanallah, a person is dead, he's in his grave, covered in layers of dirt, and still the rewards are coming to him. This is from the great generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this prophetic principle comes in a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if a person dies, then all of his deeds are cut off except from three: a continuous charity, sadaqah jariyah, or knowledge that is benefited from, or a righteous child that supplicates, makes dua for him. This world is a world of work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this world a
a land in which we plant our crop and we harvest that crop in the hereafter. Whoever plants deeds in this world, he will harvest his crop in the next world. Whoever plants the seeds of good deeds, then he will reap the crop manifold. And whoever plants the seeds of evil, then he should not accept an evil outcome, an evil conclusion, an evil harvest of the evil deeds that he has done in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mistreat or oppress or deal unjustly with his servants. So the believer, when he hears or reads this hadith, and it is a very important principle about what are those deeds that will continue to benefit him after he has died. So a believer would put extra emphasis in looking for those deeds that would have the maximum reward for him. And these will be out of these three actions that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned: giving in charity, knowledge, or righteous offspring, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed for the what remains and continues of these things to be the door of their reward is open for him even after he parts from this worldly life.
الملاحظ أيها الإخوة أن هذه الأسهم بتنوعها تكشف عن جانب عظيم في الإسلام وهو الشمول والتنوع. ففي الحديث ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصدقة الجارية، وهذه دعوة لاكتساب المال من طرقه المباحة، لأن الإنسان حتى يؤجر على صدقته ينبغي أن تكون من كسب طيب. فإذا لا يستطيع الإنسان أن يتصدق بصدقة جارية إذا لم يكن له مال، فهي دعوة لاكتساب المال من طرقه المباحة وثناء على الباذلين، لا كما يفهم بعض الناس مسألة الزهد بطريقة منكوسة. السلف كانوا زاهدين رحمة الله عليهم مع اكتسابهم المال، لكنهم لم تكن قلوبهم معلقة بالدنيا، كان عندهم زهد في الدنيا مع وجود المال في أيديهم، لكن لم يكن هذا المال ليستحوذ على قلوبهم. وفي التعبير أيضا بالجارية إشارة إلى أهمية العناية بالمال الذي يتعدى نفعه. فإذا ما كنت تريد أن تقوم بصدقة فاحرص على أن تكون هذه الصدقة صدقة جارية يتعدى نفعها إلى الخلق مكانا وزمانا، فيتعدى نفعها إلى كثير من الناس وتبقى بعد موتك ربما لعشرات السنين، بل ربما لمئات السنين. ربما يبني الإنسان بيتا مسجدا أو بيتا للمساكين، فيبقى هذا البيت معمورا ينتفع به الناس إلى مئات السنين. فمن وفق لذلك فأجره أو فأجر تلك الصدقة جار على العبد ما دام ينتفع بشيء منها.
What is noticed in these different aspects that benefit a person after he has died, it shows a great aspect of Islam, and that is the variety in doing deeds which are rewarded. That in Islam, it's not just that you do one deed. There are many different deeds. There's a variety of deeds that you can do that will be of benefit for you after your death. So the first thing that is mentioned in the hadith is sadaqah jariyah, a continuous charity. And so if you want to give sadaqah jariyah, you have to have money. So if a believer wants to fulfill this and he wants to have a reward for him after he dies, then this will encourage him to work and make a living and to become rich enough so that he can spend that money and establish a good product or a good asset that will continually be used so that it will be a cause of him earning reward after his death. So really, when the Prophet ﷺ told us about giving sadaqah jariyah, which is continuous charity, it's really a signal and a command to work and make a lawful, wholesome, good livelihood. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good and He only accepts that which is good. And only when a person earns wealth through a lawful, pure, wholesome means, then he will give that charity and spend that money in good, wholesome things. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is praising those who spend their money. And so this shows that it corrects this false idea that many people have, that if a person is righteous, then he is devoid of the worldly pleasures, and that he is austere and stays away from worldly life. And this is contrary to the Islamic understanding of zuhud or austerity. Because the pious predecessors of this ummah, the Salaf, they were the most austere. Even though they were rich and they had wealth, but they used their wealth in that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they earned their wealth in that which was lawful. But what was most important, what made them austere, is that the love of wealth did not enter their heart. And so, even though they had wealth in their hands, but the wealth was not attached to their hearts. And this is the austerity or the zuhud that Islam asks from us. And so, a believer should look to spending his money in places where the benefit will extend to others in different times and different places. Not to doing something good that is limited to that time and place. It's done and finished. But rather looking at things that will extend its benefit to other people, not just for himself, but to others, and as well extend to different times and different locations. So for example, if someone buys a building, an asset, and the benefit of that asset, either through its rent or through its use, is used to benefit others, and so he will have the reward of that even after he passes away.
ثم ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو علم ينتفع به وقيده النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم منظر قيده علم ينتفع به يعني هناك علوم لا ينتفع بها وهناك علوم تضر قارئها وتضر الناس فالعلم الذي يؤجر عليه العبد إذا أن يتركه بعد موته هو العلم الذي ينتفع به ومن أشرف هذه العلوم هي علوم الشريعة أن يترك بعده علما من علوم الشريعة ينتفع به الناس أو حتى علما من علوم الدنيا لكن ينتفع به الناس كالطب والهندسة ونحو ذلك كم عالم من علماء الأمة الكبار إذا نظرت في سيرته وجدت أن من شيوخه فلانا وفلانا من غير المشهورين العالم لا يصبح عالما هكذا بين ليلة وضحاها لابد أن يترقى في درجات العلم لابد أن يكون مبتدئا وفي حين ابتدائه لابد أنه تعلم على علماء ليسوا بمشهورين ربما أثر فيه وجعله طالبا للعلم وغرز حب العلم في قلبه ربما إنسان أعطاه مسألة أو دله على علم بسيط فوقع حب العلم في قلبه فيؤجر هذا الإنسان الذي حببه في العلم يؤجر على هذا العلم أو يؤجر على هذا العالم الذي أصبح فيما بعد عالما مشهورا فكم من أناس ليسوا مشهورين ساهموا في بناء علماء كبار فنفع الله بهم فلا تحتقر أخي طالب العلم أي معلومة أو متن توضحه أو دلالة لطالب علم مبتدئ على علم يتعلم منه فإنك لا تدري ما الذي يخبئه الغيب لهذا الشاب الصغير والله لا يغبط يعني أحد في هذه الحياة على يعني لا ينبغي أن نغبط أحدا على ملك يملكه، لا ينبغي أن نغبط تاجرا لتجارته ولا وجيها لوجاهته، كما يعني ينبغي أن نغبط عالما ينتفع الناس بعلمه وهو في قبره منذ مئات السنين. فيا لله كم جرى لهم وعلى أيديهم من الخير، وذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. انظروا حتى الآن الناس والعلماء وطلبة العلم يرجعون إلى كتب الأئمة كالإمام البخاري ومسلم والترمذي وابن ماجه والنسائي والدارقطني وهؤلاء العلماء العظام، كلهم يرجع إلى كتبهم وهم ماتوا من مئات السنين، لكن هذا والله فضل من الله سبحانه وتعالى أن أجرى لهم هذا الأجر بعد موتهم بسبب سعيهم في حفظ الدين وفي حفظ أحاديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وبسبب بذلهم الجهود العظيمة وتكبد المشاق الكبيرة من أجل جمع حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالله سبحانه وتعالى أجرى لهم هذا الذكر الحسن وهذا الفضل وهذا الأجر إلى يوم القيامة. وأيضا نعود ونلمح إلى هذا القيد، علم ينتفع به، تنبيه على البعد عن الاشتغال بالعلوم التي لا تنفع لا في الدنيا ولا في الآخرة، بل هي مضيعة وقت وربما عادت عليه بالضرر. وما أخبار العلماء الذين دخلوا في علم الكلام والفلسفة ثم ندموا في أواخر حياتهم إلا نموذج لذلك. في عصرنا الحاضر انفتحت على الشباب نوافذ فكرية كثيرة وتنوعت عليهم مصادر المعرفة، فصار بعضهم لا يميز فيقرأ كل ما وقعت عليه يده، فأثر هذا في إيمانهم وتزعزع اليقين عند بعضهم في عقائدهم التي رضيعوها صافية نقية صفاء الماء النازل من السماء، لكن بسبب هذه الأفكار تشوشت هذه العقائد عندهم فتكررت مشاهد الحيرة التي عانى منها العلماء الذين أشرنا إليهم آنفا، فهل من معتبر؟
If we look at these things that benefit a person after his death, is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, knowledge that benefits, أو علم ينتفع به, knowledge that benefits others. See, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he specified not all knowledge, but rather knowledge that is beneficial. So that shows that some knowledge is not beneficial. And even worse, some knowledge can be dangerous. A person can expose himself to certain ideas and thoughts and practices that can have a negative effect on a person and can be a cause of his misguidance. So the Prophet ﷺ is encouraging us to learn knowledge that is beneficial. And the most beneficial knowledge and the most honorable type of knowledge that a person can seek is the knowledge of the religion of Islam, the knowledge of the Sharia, and of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded and what Allah has forbidden, and as well the other and from another perspective, beneficial knowledge of like medicine and engineering and mathematics and so on and so forth, that is of benefit. When a person, he seeks beneficial knowledge and what the knowledge that he will leave behind after him, so that others will learn from them and they will become the scholars of the future. And everyone who teaches that person will have a share of the reward of whatever he does afterwards. And so a person who teaches others and then those people go and become scholars and so on and so forth, then he will have a share of that reward, and even after he dies he will be rewarded because of the knowledge that is benefited from him. How many scholars, the great scholars of this ummah,
we look at their stories, and many of them, they had teachers, and it's mentioned in their stories, in their biographies, who was their teacher, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. And you read their names and they weren't anyone who was familiar. It's not anyone who was famous. That is because many of the times, people, they learned from people who didn't have that fame. But their students became famous and became, their knowledge became widespread. And so their teachers will get a share of that reward, even though they didn't reach the levels of fame or even the levels of knowledge that their students reached to. And so they will have a share of that. And so it shows us that a person should not underestimate teaching anyone anything. And a person, and as well, especially when a person is first seeking knowledge, you know, it's very common that a person will seek knowledge from people who do not have that fame or that high expertise, that he may learn from people who don't have any fame, but these teachers will not, their rewards and their efforts will not go unnoticed, but rather they will be rewarded highly, maybe due to their intention, even though their knowledge isn't something very much, but because of their intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them great knowledge because they were the cause of teaching others who became great in their knowledge and famous, and many people benefited from them. And so their teachers, even though they may have been simple or they may have been people who were unknown, but they are known with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's amazing that you have certain people who in history, their knowledge is still being used until today. And a person, you know, he wishes that he could have that status. A person doesn't wish to be a king of the kings of this world. How many kings passed and leaders and rich people? No one knows who they are. People who were rich, people who used to do trade, or people who used to have high status, no one knows who they are. But rather we should be in a way jealous of those scholars who until today their names are being mentioned and their books are being read and people are benefiting from their knowledge and they are still getting rewards in their graves after hundreds of years. How much reward would they be getting? And that is the grace of Allah. He gives it to whom He pleases. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is possessor of great bounty. And so this also, this part of the hadith, knowledge that benefits, is a warning as well to seek knowledge of that which benefits, of knowledge of the religion and also knowledge of the worldly affairs. And so how sad is it that many people occupy their time in knowledge of things that have no benefit in this world nor in the hereafter? It is a waste of time. And worse still, it could be a cause of harm for a person. As the scholars mentioned, that when some of them entered into philosophy and the speech of philosophy, many of them regretted doing so in the end of their life. And we're seeing examples of this even today, where the opportunities of knowledge have opened in through their computer screens. There are so many doors of opening up to other ideas. And so many, especially of the youth, are not able to distinguish between truth and falsehood. And they read everything that they have access to. And so that could affect their faith, and that could make their belief shaken. And after they were upon clear-sightedness and firm faith, you find many people become in a state of confusion, as some of the scholars in the past went through, because they didn't follow the advice of seeking knowledge that is beneficial. So let us take a lesson from that and not fall into that that problem.
الأمر الثالث الذي ذكره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو ولد صالح يدعو له ولد صالح يدعو له. هنا لم يعين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هل هو ولد الصلب أم الحفيد من جهة الأبناء أو البنات، وهل هو ذكر أو أنثى، بل قال أو ولد صالح يدعو له، يعني يدخل فيه الذكر والأنثى. الذي الولد المباشر أو الحفيد يدخل في هذا. كم نرى يعني الناس يفرقون أحيانا بين الذكر والأنثى، وربما يهيئون الولد أو يعتنون بالولد أكثر من الأنثى. والأجر أيها الإخوة قد يكون من كليهما، وكثير من الأحيان ينتفع الأهل بالبنت أكثر من الذكر. فاعتني يا عبد الله أن يكون أولادك صالحين، فإنك إن تركت ولدا صالحا يدعو لك من بعدك فهذا باب عظيم من أبواب الأجر يجرى عليك بعد موتك. إن العبد لترفع منزلته في الجنة، فيقول بما هذا يا رب، فيقول بدعاء ولدك لك. فهذا والله عمل عظيم أن يعتني العبد بأبنائه وببناته ويربيهم تربية صالحة ويخرجهم على صلاح ودين تنتفع بهم الأمة وينتفع هو بهم بعد موتهم. هذا من أجل القربات التي يمكن أن يتقرب بها العبد إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. فلا تستصغر هذا يا عبد الله، لا تستصغر هذه التربية، بل هي باب من أبواب الخير. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يعيننا وأن يعين كل الآباء وكل الأمهات على تربية أولادهم تربية صالحة، وأن يكونوا في ميزان حسناتهم يوم القيامة. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
The third way of gaining reward after a person's death is by the having a righteous child who supplicates for him. And this shows us the importance of having righteous children. And here the hadith said waladun salih. And so the child, it didn't specify which child. It didn't say whether it is the direct child or whether it's the grandchild, whether it is the son or whether it is the daughter, whether it is the grandson or the granddaughter or anyone who is from his progeny. This hadith shows us that the greatest thing that a person would expect from his child is dua, supplication. And this is why if a person finds his child, son or daughter, making a lot of dua for his parents, then this is a sign of righteousness. You know, you have some people, they belittle their children, or they may prefer some children over others. Some people may prefer their sons over their daughters, or some may neglect, their grandchildren or their grandchildren from their son or their grandchildren from their daughter, wherever it may be. And this it should not be the case. But rather a person should focus on giving a good Islamic upbringing to his children and his grandchildren so that they can become righteous. And a person should not prefer ones over the others, should not prefer sons over daughters or daughters over sons, because a person does not know where the goodness will come from. How many people they prefer their sons over their daughters, and subhanAllah, more benefit comes from their daughters than their sons. So it's important for a person to have good nurturing, good Islamic nurturing of their children, all of them, so that a person hopes, and this is his investment, so that in hope that they will become righteous, and all of the righteous deeds, they will have a share of it, and as well that this righteous child will make supplication for his parent or his grandparent when he passes away. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that a person will be lifted in his status in paradise, and he will ask, "Why am I being lifted?" And it will be said to him, "This is because of the righteous supplications of your son for you." And so it is a great source of blessing for a person, but the parents must put an emphasis in nurturing and raising their children in a good Islamic way so that they can get that benefit. But if they do not nurture their children in an Islamic way, how do they expect from them any good deed after their death? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to nurture our children
in a good Islamic nurturing and for them to be righteous. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
قدم لكم هذا البرنامج من إذاعة البيان من سيدني صوت أهل السنة والجماعة.
Support the spreading of beneficial knowledge. Donate to Al Bayan Radio today. Account name Al Bayan. Westpac BSB 032361. Account number 394419. وجزاكم الله خيراً.